Good morning, everyone, on this beautiful Sabbath day. I hope you're having an enjoyable Sabbath and that you had a good week this past week. My wife and I, we had a chance to travel out to California to visit our daughter Kaylee and her husband Chris and their two children, Amos and Sage, twins that were born back on March 14th. They came a little premature, so I just had the opportunity this last weekend over the Pentecost weekend to go out and visit them, and they are growing well and they're looking good. So excited to be a grandfather. So far the year 2020 has been anything other than just another year. The year started off with records being set in the stock market on almost a weekly basis, and record lows in unemployment and record highs of people in the workforce. And then the news of the coronavirus or COVID-19 struck, and the stock market fell from a high of 29,000 in late February to a low of 18,600 one month later. Unemployment statistics went from a low of 3.5% in February to a high of 14.7% in April. And now the market has experienced a bear market bounce back to up to 25,600 as of market close on Friday. And the unemployment rate has fallen to 13.3 according to government statistics at the end of May, as more and more states are opening up and starting to relax restrictions on businesses operating and the resumption of certain activities. Just as the fear from COVID-19 was waning, the death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin on Memorial Day triggered a series of protests in Minneapolis and across the nation. Protests which in turn turned into riots at the hands of provocateurs, agents of sinister forces that cannot let a crisis go to waste. Several inner cities have suffered destruction from fire and looting as riots raged, causing more harm to minority-owned businesses and neighborhoods. This time is reminiscent of the summer of discontent during 1968, when rioting, protesting the war in Vietnam, the hippie movement, and race relations had reached a low point. Those protesting at that time have now become the leaders of communities, cities, states, and federal government. The talk of revolution is in the airwaves of radio and television, and in the press, with some predicting a possibility of civil war. Larry Klayman, founder of Judicial Watch, penned an article June 12, 2020 for WorldNet Daily, where he states that the Bolshevik Revolution has come to America. This revolution, should it succeed, will bear no resemblance to the revolution which birthed the United States of America some 244 years ago. It will most closely resemble the infamous French Revolution or the Bolshevik Revolution. We are coming up on the summer July 4th holiday, where we celebrate our Declaration of Independence from Great Britain and the King of England. This declaration was signed by 56 delegates to the Second Continental Congress in 1776. In it are listed the abuses and usurpations of power by King George of England and the English legislature. I would recommend that everyone familiarize themselves once more with this founding document of our country. The most often quoted passage from this document appears in the first few lines of the second paragraph, which I'd like to quote here and expound upon in my remaining minutes today. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We refers to the 56 signers of the Declaration, which were the representatives to the Second Continental Congress, sent from the individual colonies to speak on behalf of the good people of those colonies. Hold these truths to be self-evident. What was to follow in the document was listed as truths that were established by facts. They were grievances against the abuses and usurpations of power of King George and Parliament. that all men are created equal. These 56 representatives believe that humankind was created by a creator God, that each are given talents and abilities and were considered equal in the sight of God. All will eventually have an opportunity to be born into the family of God. Critics often point to this phrase and say that many signers were being hypocritical because they were slave owners. The slavery issue was controversial in the day, but was put on the back burner to be dealt with at a later date. The states would work together through the Articles of Confederation until it was replaced by our current Constitution in 1789. Once again, the Constitution put the slavery issue on the back burner, where it would simmer and boil until the Civil War of 1861 to 1865. More soldiers died in that conflict in freeing the slaves than in any other conflict in American history. The next phrase, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. It is the creator that endows all people with rights. Endowed, what does it mean to be endowed? On dictionary.com, we have the following definition. One, to provide a permanent fund or source of income, such as to endow a college, or two, to furnish as with some talent, faculty, or quality, or equipment. We are all familiar with endowment funds given to colleges and other organizations from individual or corporate grantors. These endowment funds are given with certain stipulations and requirements, and if the grantee does not abide by those requirements, the grantor has a right to rescind funds. So if we are endowed by our creator, what requirements were given for that endowment? The answer to that is found in the first paragraph, so often skipped, of the Declaration, in the phrase, to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them. So what are these laws of nature? According to the Lonang Institute at lonang.com, the law of nature was a common term used by historic legal writers. The laws of nature's God refers to divine law or the laws of God revealed in the Bible. The laws of the Bible were guiding requirements behind the endowment by our creator of our unalienable rights. What is meant by unalienable? According to dictionary.com, unalienable means non-transferable to another or not capable of being taken away or denied. The word unalienable is often confusing as pronounced and hides its meaning. I prefer to pronounce it as unalienable. This seems to reveal the true nature of the word. A lien is placed on property or security for a loan. If the borrower defaults on their loan, the lender can call the lien and take possession of the property. If something is unalienable, a lien cannot be placed against it. Our rights are unalienable by others except by the one who endowed them to us. Should we fail to uphold the requirements of that endowment? Should people not live by the laws of nature, we fail to uphold our obligation. Those rights can be stripped from us by our grantor, God. The next phrase, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The phrase that among these refers to a list of those unalienable rights, which the Constitution, when the Constitution was ratified by the states in 1789, the states required that a set of amendments listing the rights of the people be added to the Constitution, otherwise they wouldn't ratify it. There was a list of 12 amendments brought forth, and of these 12, only 10 were ratified, and they became known as the Bill of Rights. These rights were already possessed by we the people, and were amended to the Constitution to highlight those specific rights which the newly formed government had no power over. They were not given to us by the Constitution. I would like to suggest that you read through those rights when you have a chance. I'd like to read just one, the first one, that states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Our founding fathers had a fervent desire to allow to allow for the freedom of religion. Their forefathers had fled the oppression of religious freedom in Europe. They faced the hazards of sailing to the New World at the risk of life in pursuit of a land, a promised land, that would allow them to worship God freely. Today we see our freedoms and our unalienable rights being stripped away because our nation has turned their back on the laws of nature and nature's God. Those rights which were endowed by our creator are slowly being rescinded. Will we see a revival in this country? Will we see a restoration of those rights? Only if people will humbly return to God with their whole heart will we see a return of rights endowed by our creator. All these things that we are witnessing can bring fear and trepidation to many. We are not to be fearful. As it states in Ephesians 6, we are wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. We must therefore put on the whole armor of God in order to withstand the wiles of the devil. We are in crunch time as never before. I'd like to conclude by just saying that before Christ was taken up to heaven, he said these words to his disciples. We read them in Matthew 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We see that Christ has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He is in charge. Nothing happens on this earth without his approval. God the Father and his Son are working out a plan here on this earth. Continuing in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'd like to leave you with a quote from an online commentator, Greg Hunter. He concludes his broadcasts with the following. Prepare yourselves physically, mentally, and above all spiritually. Fear not, for God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ are firmly in control.